I want to talk to you about the Good Samaritan. So that means there is some Good Samaritans too. If I will ask the person that's supposed to do the Bible reading if you may come and see the Bible. I reckon that have to be read properly. I can read properly in English. I'm not scared to tell you. I'm not an English-speaking person, and it's very hard for me to read the way it should be read. So I asked this brother if he can read it for me.
Luke chapter 10, verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? Answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell amongst thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw he passed on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host. And he said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said unto him, Go and do thou likewise.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Well, nice reading, isn't it? Now, we have to know, first of all, it's very important for us to know when it's a parable and what means a parable. I was talking to a Jehovah Witness, which I hardly ever talk to them. I lose my temper with them. So before I start telling them really bad words, I better don't talk to them. But one got me, one of those really smart, he knew it, because I told him, I will only talk with you if you have the Bible that I have, because they have the New World Bible, that nonsense Bible, it's really bad. I said, you have to have the Reina Valera 60 that I have. And to my surprise, he put it from his back, he got one. I said, good, now we will talk. And well, I first of all asked him if he believes in hell. He said, no, there's no hell. No hell. Well, I said, how about Luke 16? Let's read it. And we start reading. And he stopped straight away. He said, no, this is a parable. See, if you don't know what a parable is, you will fall for it. I said, no, that's not a parable. He said, how do you know? Because there is two names. It's Lazarus and Abraham. So that's not a parable. Jesus Christ himself describes hell exactly how it is. No better explanation than that one. So that's not a parable. So when it's a parable, in parables you don't have names. What I want to do this morning is try to put names on this parable so we will understand what exactly Christ wants to say to us through this parable with this man that asked the right question. There is no better question than what this man asked. What I must do to have eternal life? Every one of us have to ask this question once in your life. You have to ask what I must do to have eternal life. Maybe in different words, but that question is very important. Not the way he asked. He was tempting the Lord. Now, parables. We found 48 parables in the first 3 Gospels and 2 in Hebrews that are figuratives, Hebrews 9:9 and Hebrews 11:19. But 48 parables. That's why when the new converts come, like new believers come, and sometimes they will ask me, what is the best part to start reading the Bible? I always tell them, John. John hasn't got parables. And talks a lot about eternal life, security of eternal life, and how to get born again. It's better than John. Not that bad. No, I'm not saying that. But when I was young, just learned how to read, and it was compulsory in my place to read. It wasn't a, if you want it. No, we have to read the Bible every day, and when Dad gets out from his siesta, we have to tell him what we understood. I didn't understand nothing. I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and they're talking all about the same thing, parables. I could never understand them. But parables are good. Parables, if you put a meaning to them. Now, this man here, he was a very smart man because he answered the law exactly what the way he thought that he had to have eternal life. He knew the law very good. Actually, Jesus tells him that he's right. Do this and live. Now, can you live by fulfilling the law? I can. Impossible. That's why Christ has to come and do it for us. Now, then he said he still wasn't happy. So he pops another question, but pay attention that first of all, Christ never responded his question. He asked another one. How readest thou? Not always you have to answer questions when people ask. Sometimes you just have to ask another question. What is written in the law? How readest thou? And then he tells him all the old laws, Moses, oh, well, he did right. And he told him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. Now, I can tell you right now, Jesus told him that, and that in the way he told him, because he was tempting him. Jesus knew that nobody can get saved by keeping the law, because we can't keep it. You break one commandment, and you broke them all. So he now he's asking, but he willing to justify himself, says unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? See, neighbor in English stands for both things, not in Spanish. Neighbor is vecino, next door neighbor. That's vecino. In this case, it's prójimo, next to me, prójimo. We have two words for neighbor. But when I don't understand something when I'm preparing my sermons, I go to the Spanish Bible just to be more clear for me what I have to understand. So, and Jesus answering said, a certain man, no name, somebody. Well, that certain name, the best you can find who he was, if you go to chapter 15, and that man represents you and me before we got saved. Chapter 15, verse 14 and 15. And when he had spent all there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him to his field to feed swine. That's the worst thing you can ask a Jewish person, to go and look after the swine. That's no way. This man that wasn't going up, he was coming down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Down. Before we got saved, we always going down. We never going up. We going down. So you put yourself here. If you are not safe, you're still this man. That certain man are you. I was. I'm 59 when I accepted Christ and I pulled out from there. But that's the man. So he fell among the thieves. You know who is the thief? The world. The world. That's what the world does to you. Leaves you half dead. That's what happened to the prodigal son. When he asked all his what belongs to him, and went to the world. Enjoyed until he ran out of money, and he had to feed the swines. Now, this man is now flat on the road. He is lost. No one there to help. But by chance, the Bible said, a priest is coming by. What people to the priest? Religion. Brethren, religion will never help you. It will bypass you. You could be a good religious person. I remember talking to a retired school teacher. She was more Catholic than the Pope himself. She got a big photo of the Pope in her city room. And, oh, She will listen and everything, because actually I found out she never even touched a Bible, because she was taught that if you read the Bible, you become crazy. Well, I told her I read the Bible many times and in different languages. Do you reckon I'm crazy? She said, no. Well, so you won't get crazy. You won't get crazy by reading the Bible. You keep people from the Bible and they will never know nothing. So that's what she was. And she will not change her religion no matter what. How you speak. I said, I didn't come here to change religion. That's not my job. I'm coming to talk to you about Christ. Well, we can talk and I enjoy listening to you, but don't ask me to change religion. She keeps telling me that all the time. Don't come. Listen, I tell her, listen, not a single religious person or good ones are in heaven. They are all in hell. She said, who is in heaven then? Save sinners. Only save sinners. You are a sinner, I'm safe. I'm safe. That's the difference between you and me. Difference. You are not going to go to heaven because you are good, because the Bible says there's no one good. Well, but I'm religious. Oh, I never lie, I never steal, I never adulterate, and oh, so I'm going to heaven. One law, one thing you've broken, and you're already born with sin. So I was trying to explain this lady that religion will not help you. Well, she started coming to our services. And when I give her the Bible, I really was sure that she's going to accept. She was scared to touch the Bible. Imagine, a retired school teacher. What Catholicism does to you? So I told her, I give her a nice Bible with big letters, because she's a bit about Elizabeth's age. And she started, I won't say it all. Well, you want me to say it all? No, I won't say that. Well, I gave her the Bible, and I suggested her to read the Gospel of John. I came to visit her again 3 days after, and she said, I finished reading Genesis. That's 50 chapters, but 50 chapters. She read the Bible. She started reading. She liked. I said, good. There's nothing wrong if you read Genesis, but if you continue reading the Old Testament, you will get a nice, just open the Bible and show her Leviticus and all that when you have a lot of measurements and sacrifices. And I said, you're going to get bored and you wouldn't know how to go. I said, why don't you start with the New Testament, Gospel of John? She won't. The devil have to do anything with that. She just keep reading the Old Testament. She started coming to church. I could see her singing. So then I was absent for some reason. I didn't went to church for a few weeks. Somebody else preached. And apparently he really gave very hard against Catholics from the pulpit, so she never came back. And I went to see her. And she said to me that, now they offended me. Well, I said, I said, he didn't. That man that preached, I know him very well. I said, he didn't offend you. He wants you to not to go to hell. He's telling you the truth. There's nothing wrong with that. I said to her, my parents were Catholics. Mom was Catholic, Dad also, Catholic Orthodox, the Ukrainian church. They were Catholics, and Dad was always scared to die in hell. Thanks goodness. So he started looking for the truth. And where he found the truth? Reading the Bible. I said to her, start reading the New Testament. I visited her many times more with Elizabeth. Elizabeth visited on her own many times. She stopped coming to church. I presume she still reads the Bible. So her name is Jenny. Write down and pray for Jenny. We want her to get saved one day. Because she is very religious. And as we read in this here, in this passage, religion did not help in there. He was half dead. Religious passed by. The priest represents religion in here. Religion will never help you. They will pass by. Well, priest will never help you. Now, in verse 32 said, and likewise, a Levite, when he was at that place, come and look on him and pass by on the other side. Levites, they cannot even go and touch somebody like that by law. Levites can't help you. Do you reckon that today, anybody who goes by the Old Testament, Seventh-day Adventist and others, will that take them to heaven? They represent Levites. Going by the law said in Galatians that if you are under the law, you are cursed. We are under the grace now. You get saved by faith and grace, not by law. So here, past first religion, now the law is passing by, still doesn't help. So, and you see here, that he answered quite good, so he knew the law, the Levites, but he could not help this poor man that he was lying there. He could not pray. No religions, no law. Now, who is coming by? A certain Samaritan. I always spoke of a Samaritan this morning. I don't have to describe how bad they are, how bad they were, and Jesus told the disciples not to marry and all that, but it happened to be that a Samaritan is coming by. Now, and as he journeyed, come where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Nobody likes the Samaritan, but that Samaritan, he have compassion. And I'm wondering if he wasn't a Samaritan. They're lying down. He have a compassion. Who do you reckon this Samaritan represents? We have to give him a name. We already have religion. We have the law. Now the Samaritan. Who could be that? Christ. Did people like Christ?
Yes.
One weekend they put palms and all that. Next after they're screaming, crucify him, crucify him. Did all the religious people enjoy Christ in the earth? No. They hated him. As they are now, the Samaritans, they're still hated by the Jewish people. So they didn't like, he represents. And what the Samaritan does, it has to do a lot of with salvation, keeping you safe, and looking for you up to the end. There's not a thing that you are safe today and lost tomorrow. I have two families that they came to our church, they joined our church from the Assembly of God. When they start coming to my church, I'm shaking. I'm scared. I only want Catholics to come to my church. I don't want ex-Christian or Christian people. They are the troublemakers. I like Catholics. You know why? They don't know nothing. And when they understood that they have to get saved and how they get saved, it all depends how you teach them now, the sound doctrine. And if you teach them the Word of God the way it is, you will have the best people in church. And I have experience, 18 years now. Never have trouble with Catholics converted in our service. Never. But people from other denominations, they come. Well, that they handle the Bible a bit wrongly, they are the worst one. So, but you still cannot throw everybody. Well, I have these people coming from the Assembly of God. Two families. One was a truck driver. He came by him. Talked to me first, and I warned him. I said, you want to come? I can't stop you. This is a free country. I can't stop you. You can come. But don't bring nothing from your other church. No hallelujah, no amen, no clapping, no jumping. Nothing. We don't heal and we don't speak tongues. That's not our job. He said, when I come, I always kneel where I sit and I pray before I sit down. Can I do that? I said, yeah, you can do that. I can't stop you from praying. So he came and he was really good. Then I asked him about his wife. Do you have a wife? Yeah, and three daughters. Well, will they come? Oh, no, my wife, no, she wants there because my girls play violin. My wife speaks tongues. Oh, I said, good. Next Sunday, I'll be starting a lesson. It will take me 6 Sundays to finish. Why a Christian should never look sick to speak tongues. Never. Tell her to come one Sunday and then she can give up. So she did. I always give them this chance. You come today and don't worry tomorrow. So she came next Sunday. She came and I started. That if you want to know what I taught them, if you have Brother Keith Piper book, look there. It says why a Christian should not look after and look sick tongues. It's all there. I translate it and I teach that. So, when I finished teaching, I make a little lie. I said, I don't know if any lady spoke tongues. I knew because the husband told me. So I said, I don't know if any lady ever spoke tongues. But as soon as we finish, I finish praying and I go down. I want any lady that spoke tongues to come and show me where in the Bible a lady spoke tongues. Because I still didn't find it. And that lady came to me and she said, thank you, brother. I did not know that ladies don't speak tongues. I said, for that matter, no one speaks tongues. And she became one of the best ladies in the congregation. I baptized her 3 daughters. And it's good. They're coming. They were a bit afraid in that church where they used to go because they used to lose their salvation nearly every week. They have to do something to recover. So it's really bad. Then I have another family. He came too. He came straight away with his wife and 2 daughters. Aldo, his name, Aldo, Baker, he makes bread. Right? a lot of jokes. He likes to joke, smile a lot, and I was really scared. Whoa. So I start telling him, well, how did you know about us? Oh, he said, I was listening to the radio that your brother preaches for years. I used to hate him. I used to hate his guts. He doesn't believe a woman preaching. He doesn't believe that you can get cured in the church. He doesn't believe that. I said, no, he doesn't believe. We still believe that Jesus Christ still is the same like he was. He can cure anybody. We do believe that. I don't believe in today's healers, except those ones in the doctors that they charge me. I believe them. But not the one in the church. I don't believe those. So he said to me, but as I listened, the puzzle was coming through really better. So then I went one day and told my dad, Dad, I think that preacher that I am listening, he is right. His dad said, you are not listening, Jose Holowati. He said, yes. Well, you're going to be crazy. He said, no, I'm leaving the church. I'm leaving the church where his dad goes. And he left. He came to us. I didn't know that he got a gift of what you've been doing here. By the way, congratulations, the way you conduct singing. I didn't know that he had the gift. And I always have to do all the singing and then preaching. And I have no voice after a while. And then somebody told me, Aldo knows music. I can't even read music. I just have good ears, but nothing else. So I said, Aldo, can you conduct this? I always conducted the singing in my church, the choir, but I was scared to ask you. I don't want you to dig your gift that God gave you underground and wait until he comes and give him back. You use it. So now he's doing the singing in our church. Beautiful. Beautiful the way he does. Really good. Pray for them. They really all knew. But anyway, well, let's continue here. I jump out. Okay. Now, this good Samaritan took this man. Took his man and take care of him. And he went on and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and drove him to the inn and took care of him. Would Jesus do that to us? If we go to him, wouldn't he take care of us wherever problem we have? All we have to do is willing to do it, to go for it. And on the morrow, that's whatever day it was, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care, and whatever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Okay. Imagine if this good Samaritan will not be passing by. Thank you. So where do you put this one? Just here. Okay. Imagine if only religion and the law pass by, no Samaritan. Now, how a Samaritan can pass by on your mate at work? You must to act there. You must to tell them about Christ. Christ will always do what he has to do, but we are our part to doing here. Will you remember when the 2 blind men, when one gospel said 2, the other one says 1, were screaming, Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on us. Well, and they told him, people around, devil, says, shh, be quiet, and don't make an option. And what did Jesus do? That's very important. We sometimes don't pay attention. Jesus stood and commanded to call him. See, we have to do our part. Jesus gave the sight to them, but he didn't went to them and didn't broke them. We have to do it. Jesus stood and they went and brought him. Come, he's calling you. That teaches us, especially the Christian people in here who are safe, we always have to bring people to Jesus the way this Samaritan lady did. She could not preach much. Her testimony was bad. But she went and told them, come and see the man who told me all what I did. That was her sermon. She brought a lot of people to Jesus. It doesn't matter what she was. But Jesus took care of her also. Now, this man went there, and he took care of them. When the Bible says that took care of him, God does that with us. When you are safe, you are safe. But you have to get safe. Maybe you are coming here to church very often, and you've been coming here for quite a while now, but you still don't know if you are safe. That's sad. Most probably, you are not safe. Because if you are safe, you know that you are safe. I'm wondering if there is any in here that it's still not sure if they are safe or not, and you are a bit worried. No, that's a bit scary. No. This man asked the right question. What I must do to have eternal life? Did you ask that, the Lord? Did you ask? Maybe never. When I got saved, I didn't know that you have to ask those things. I got saved. My sister guided me to the Lord when I was 13 years old. Growing up in a Christian home, it's very hard. You reckon that you are automatically safe. That really happened to me. I thought that I was automatically safe. Reading the Bible, going to churches, that very disobedient. Don't worry about that. And then I must be safe. But I wasn't. I wasn't safe until I had the terrible dream that the Lord came, took this church, and I was left behind. Oh, did that shook me, 2 o'clock in the morning. Well, if my sister is there, still sit in her bed, that did not happen. Because I have a sister, I always used to tell her, you are pestering us with that Bible. You know, you go to sleep, you want to sleep, and she's still reading your stories, Bible, and then when she sees you dreaming, do you listen to what I'm telling you? It was Bible, safe. Well, when I wake up with my bad dream, I went straight to her bed. I said, if she is there, that did not happen. And she said to me, you are not safe. I said, why not? I read the Bible more than once. I go to church. Works. You know that reading the Bible, it works. It won't take you to heaven just because you read the Bible. You have to ask this question. What I must do to have eternal life? And she asked me clearly, Alex, did you ever tell the Lord that you are a sinner, you deserve hell, and you're going there? And you don't want to go to take away your sins and save you. I said, no, I never said I have to do that. Well, maybe nobody told you. Well, I don't believe. I think the pastor always tells you. But if nobody ever told you or you didn't know, you have to ask the Savior what I must do to have eternal life. You have to ask. Regardless if you are a child, you are a young man, or you're an adult. If you have no security that you are safe, ask the Lord to save you today. Don't leave it for tomorrow. You don't know what can happen in the next hours. I was telling the pastor, I rang my son-in-law last week. I was speaking to him. I said, are you home or at work? He said, no, I'm in a funeral service. I said, who died? One of my apprentices. I said, oh, heart attack. Apprentice? Was he safe? No. I didn't ask if he preached to him. He always does. Tell me, are you ready to die? Are you ready to meet the Lord? Are you safe? Maybe you're scared. You don't want to. I invite you with my heart open for you that the Lord will save you if you're willing to accept Christ as a Savior. If you want to accept Christ because you are not sure what happened to me when I died, just raise your hand and we will pray for you and the pastor will take care of that later. Is anybody in here that never gave to Christ and would like to do it today? Don't be scared. This is the best decision that you make, the best thing that you can get in your life, better than getting married, nice or boyfriend or girlfriend, or winning the lotto. This is better because this is eternity. The other things passing by. Anybody in here that is not safe, not sure, and would like to come from this temple today safe, serving the Lord. Anyone. Just raise your hand so we can pray. No one. Maybe you are safe, but you never got baptized. Baptism won't save you. It's nothing to do with salvation. But it's a commandment. Do you love me? Keep my commandments. You love Christ? Keep his commandment. His commandments he left too. Lord's Supper and baptism. Are you anybody in here who is safe and never got baptized? Raise your hands. We can see. 1, 2. Anybody else? 3. Can you come here, please? Those who raise the hand. Please, come here. You sure you are safe? Because I can measure, and I'm not allowed to do that. You are safe, too. And you were not baptized. Any reason not getting baptized? The pastor didn't want to do it. Well, any reason. Why? I spoke to one man in Argentina. He was really going to Seventh-day Adventism. They were training him. Until he one day he said to them, he would like to get baptized. He told them. And they said, no, we have a question first. Who is more important, the seventh days or Christ? And he said, Christ. No, we can't baptize you. Well, what is stopping you from getting baptized? You don't mind. You don't have problem with that. Well, Pastor, you hear that, Pastor? You got three candidates to get baptized. You are really, you got the privilege to be in a church where Word of God is preached sound. I grew up in a Slavic church where baptism was part of salvation. And when I got saved that night, in the morning, first thing I told my dad, I want to get baptized, because if I'm not baptized, I'm still going to hell. That's what they taught us. You know that. It's true. Baptism won't save them. They were not going to be more saved than they are now. And if they die, they will still go to heaven. But how about showing to the world what happened inside? What happened inside? That's what it is all about. Yeah. Well, I just want the pastor to see who raised the hand. You can see there now. Maybe somebody else didn't have the guts to do it. But don't hesitate. Do what the Lord asks us to do. It's not so much. By the way, baptism is not a sacrament. It's not a sacrament. Baptism is a commandment, an ordinance. We have to do it. Go, preach the gospel, and baptize. Not baptize to be Christian. You are getting baptized because you are Christian. You are safe. So that, I'm really happy. Once more, I will insist. Is anybody in here that is not safe and you? You're just very scared, but you want to get safe. Raise your hands. Raise your hand. Don't be scared. What I must do to have eternal. And that will be nice if, well, I hope everybody's safe. I hope. I can't force no one. I don't know you. But I give you a chance because the Lord will require from me. I never give you a chance to show that you want to get safe. Pastor will know better, so he will deal with everybody else. Thanks. We'll have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time that you give us, Lord, to be in your word. Thank you, Lord, the word that you left in this parable for us. Even that man wants to justify himself, but we can all learn from the answer that you give him, Lord. I ask you, Lord, for these three young men that come forward, Lord, that they will get baptized, they will be able to preach the gospel to others. So witness through the baptism service. It's so important. So many people can be invited, relatives that don't know Christ, to come for this special occasion, Lord. Bless them. Let them grow in your way, Lord. I ask you for the young man that went out with me yesterday, that wants to be a missionary, that you bless him in his future, guide him in everything what he's doing, Lord, that he will never be departing from your will, Lord. Help us to be better Christians every day. Forgive our sins wherever we're committed, even through our mind, Lord, and cleanse us. In Jesus' precious name, amen.